Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to know we have a worship leader who takes the commands of God seriously, giving thanks for a kid that sneezed on his donut. So, anyway, glad to hear it, Pete. Set a good example for us all. I don't know if I can do that or not, but anyway. We're in 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy. And the title of the message today is Don't Get Sidetracked by the Trivial. Don't get sidetracked by the trivial. And it's from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Excuse me. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for sexually immoral men, for the sexually immoral men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. A 10-year-old boy was having trouble in school learning his math, and so his parents tried many things to help the young boy, but nothing seemed to motivate him to study. And so finally his parents decided they were going to send him to Catholic school. Well, from the first day there, his attitude seemed to change. He'd come home, he'd pore over his math books, and when he got his report card, he received an A for his math work. Well, his dad questioned him, and his dad said, "What made the difference? Was it the different atmosphere? Was it the nuns? Was it the care, a different textbook?" The little boy said, "No, it was none of these things." And then the little boy told him the reason that he was doing better on his math. He said, "Dad, I never took math very seriously before, but when I arrived at Catholic school and saw the guy nailed to the plus sign, I knew they took math seriously around here." Well, I think the little boy missed the point, right? He missed the point of the symbol. And I think sometimes as believers, we sometimes fail to communicate to others the truth of the gospel because we complicate it. We don't share it in a way where people can understand. We get sidetracked by side issues instead of majoring on the majors. In the old, very old TV series, Green Acres, there's a character named Mr. Kimball. Now, Mr. Kimball was the county agent who would come to see Mr. Douglas, the city slicker lawyer turned farmer, with important messages about how to be a better farmer, how to till the land that he was farming. However, as Mr. Kimball came to deliver these important messages, he would always get sidetracked by meaningless side issues and forget the main message that he was to deliver. And I think a lot of times believers are like that. We get so caught up in the fringe issues of Christianity, and we emphasize the things that nobody sometimes has a clear handle on, and we forget to proclaim the main message of the gospel, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, Paul himself understood this this tendency. And in Colossians, he asked the Colossians to pray for him while he was in prison, and because he knew he had an opportunity to share the gospel. This was his prayer, he said. He asked the Colossians to pray this way for him. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we might proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, to help him be the pastor, the leader, the teacher that he needed to be. Paul had left Timothy in Ephesus because he knew that some in the church liked to emphasize the speculative things about Christianity, and Paul knew this was a danger to the church. Speculative things are things that we can't know for sure, but people sure like to spend a lot of time talking about them. Paul knew that focusing on the speculative things would rob the people of God of the energy and the focus of majoring on the things that really matter, things that help us to grow in our Christian faith, things that help us to love God more and cause us to love others with God's kind of love. And so he told Timothy how to handle those who focus too much on the things that don't matter and can lead us to wrong belief and the wrong emphasis. From this passage of Scripture, I think we see this eternal truth. God's goal for us is this: to live a life of sincere and informed love, and not for us to be ivory tower theologians. Now, if you think God's goal for you is to simply simple intellectual knowledge, you are dead wrong. I'm not saying that's not important, but I want to tell you, God's goal is not for us to know a lot of things about Him. God's goal for us is to be the presence of Jesus in the world and to share the love of God wherever we go. God's goal is for us to be filled with His kind of love and have that love flow through our lives. And so because of that, Paul informs Timothy of some things that we should do and some things that we should not do. First of all, don't emphasize the unknown and the fringe, because these create controversies. Now, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, and he said, teach certain men not to waste time on different doctrine, speculation, myths, old wives' tales, internet rumors, we could say in our day, and endless genealogies. Have you ever known someone that filled up their mind with a whole bunch of junk about the Scripture, but always made it so complicated? And they thought they knew more than everybody else. They thought they knew more. Some of them have predicted the second coming, and they've been wrong every time, of course. Paul said, warn certain men not to waste time on speculations and myths and endless genealogies. He said, these give rise to mere speculation rather than the administrative of the gospel of God, which goes forth by faith. Paul was to tell certain men. I think Paul had specific men in mind when he wrote this to Timothy, because Paul knew Ephesus. He said to Timothy, teach certain men to major on the things that matter, things you can know, not on seeking to know, to speculate about what you can't know. Now, we spend a lot of time sometimes trying to figure out the difficult parts of the Bible, and there are difficult parts of the Bible, but sometimes we waste so much time on the things that are not clear, we don't major on the focus of the things that are clear. I don't completely understand what Paul's talking about in Hebrews 6 when he talks about the rain falling and apostatizing. I don't understand that completely. I don't understand what Paul meant when he mentioned the baptism for the dead in 1 Corinthians. I don't know what Peter meant when he wrote about Jesus preaching to the spirits imprisoned through the Holy Spirit. These are things that are mentioned once or twice in the Bible. We can speculate about them, and we can have opinions, I'm not saying that, but I don't think you can really know. We spend our times trying to figure out the obscure passages of the Bible, but a lot of times we don't focus on the main message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We miss the clear teachings about eternal life with Christ and eternal punishment without him. We might not figure out who the Antichrist is, but we can know for certain that Christ is coming back to earth physically. His coming is the blessed hope for the believer, and if a person's not a believer, Jesus returns the worst thing that could ever happen to him. See, we focus on the things that we can't know instead of the things that are clear in the Scripture. Supposedly, Mark Twain, who was an unbeliever, said this: "It's not the things in the Bible I don't understand that bother me, but the things I do understand." You see, we need to major on the majors. We need to major on the majors. If we're teaching God's Word, we need to emphasize what matters and what is going to help. You know, when I'm tempted to go down a rabbit trail in my teaching or my preaching, I got to ask myself, is this a profitable rabbit trail? Some rabbit trails can help. Is it profitable, or is it just going to stir up people's curiosity and it's not going to help them to grow in their love for Christ and their love for His church and their love for the world? If it just makes us intellectually curious or just fills people's mind up with trivial knowledge, let's skip it. You see, not only does emphasizing those fringe things keep us from growing, but sometimes they create real division and controversy. Many cults have based their whole system on some fringe doctrine that they picked out of the Scripture because they majored on the minors. Don't get sidetracked by the trivial. You know, some people say, "I don't read the Bible, there are parts of it I can't understand." Read the Bible, and the parts that you can understand, ask God to help you, but just keep reading it. Just keep reading what you can understand and what God will speak to you. Continually be going through the Scripture. I would encourage every believer to do that, because it's what helps us to see what is important and what is emphasized and what does matter. And what does matter is that God loves the world, that Christ died for our sins, that Jesus rose from the dead, He's coming back. What does matter is we're to love one another and we're to love our enemies. That matters. So let's emphasize the things that matter and don't get sidetracked by the trivial. Then Paul tells us something we should do. Do emphasize love because it furthers the kingdom of God, which is ours by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul told Timothy to help the Ephesian church to lead on, to help the Ephesian church and its leaders to major on God's provisions, which come by faith. Paul's command is strong orders to Timothy to teach certain men not to major on the fringes had a positive goal in mind. This goal of the command and Paul's instruction is this, and he says it very clearly in verse 5. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The goal of the command and Paul's instruction is love, knowledgeable love, which comes from a pure heart, seeing things from God's perspective, having Jesus having purified your heart, a good conscience where you're walking with God, and a sincere faith, which is uncorrupted and unpolluted. It's sincere. You're seeing things as they are, and your vision's not clouded by other things. So Paul said the goal of this command is God's kind of love. You see, we're to love with God's kind of love. And that love is not sentimental, but it's a love which gives and gives and gives. It's a love which does what's best for others and seeks the best for others, even if it hurts us to give it, even if it's hard for us to give it. It's a love where we love our enemies and pray that God would bless our enemies. It's a love which points to people to life and truth. It's not mere talk. It's not an emotion. It's not what the world thinks. Falling in and out of love and all those kind of false ideas. Love is something you do. It's something you choose. It's something you do for others, the best thing for them. Now, don't misunderstand what love is. We do that. We see things all the time that says love is greater than fear, and love trumps hate. And these things are true in themselves. But there's something missing there. Because love is not love if it does not challenge others who are going down the path of destruction and death. Love is not saying to another person, everything you do is okay, and never challenging them if they're making all the wrong choices, if they're walking away from Christ instead of walking to Him. Love says to another person, I will speak God's life-giving truth to them for their good. I love my children, but if they did wrong things, they would know about it from me. They would hear about it. If they're doing something that was destructive, they would know about it, and I would do everything I could to get them not to do those things. Love is not letting people continue to make deadly and damning choices and never saying anything about turning from sin and turning to Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not talking about focusing on the individual weaknesses and sins of others, but I am saying that we have to tell them that Jesus comes to save all of us from sin. Every one of us needs to be saved from sin. It's different in all of our lives. What the thing that captures you might not capture me, but we all need to be saved from sin. And we're saved. Jesus comes to save us from sin and to save us for relationship to Him. And the thing that people need most in life is Jesus. So Paul says, do emphasize active love, which furthers the kingdom of God. Next, we see another don't. Don't emphasize a law if you don't understand its purpose. Now you realize just because a person talks like he knows what he's talking about does not mean that he knows what he's talking about. You know, a friend of mine said, what could you talk about for 10 minutes without any preparation? And I wanted to reply on that, you know, David, I'm a preacher. I could talk about anything for 10 minutes without preparation. It doesn't mean I would have said anything or informed you, but there's nothing I can't talk about for 10 minutes. It's an occupational hazard. You remember maybe your college life, you had these PhDs, and they were experts in, you know, Greek mythology or something, but they'd act like they knew everything about everything. Some of them would. You can speak authoritatively about issues and confidently affirm things which you have no experience or understanding. Yeah, preachers are guilty of this sometimes. It's like the commercial about the guy who is at the nuclear reactor. It's having a meltdown, and he starts to instruct the crew. And when they ask him when he joined the crew, he tells them he's just part of the plant tour, but he stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. There are a lot of people in Ephesus and throughout Scripture who emphasize the law of God, but they don't understand the purpose of the law, because the purpose of the law is to point us to Christ. The Pharisees claimed the love of Scripture, of the law, but they didn't believe in Jesus. They missed the whole point. They missed the whole point of the law. Romans 10:4 tells us, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. You know, you better not seek to be a teacher of the word of the law without understanding the reason the law of God was given. It is given to bring us to salvation through Jesus Christ. Finally, there's one more thing that I want to emphasize, and that is this. Do emphasize the law, if you understand it, teaches us our sinfulness and need for a Savior and Redeemer. Now, Paul says the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, it was not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? The law was given for the unjust, for the disobedient. If you think the law, the commandments of God, were given as a list of rules to make us better people, you misunderstand the law. They aren't the 10 rules. The 10 commandments aren't the 10 rules for living well. You know, we have people all over who emphasize, worry. They think we need to put the 10 commandments plaques over everywhere. I'm neither here nor there with that, but I want to tell you something. Knowing the law doesn't change the hearts of people. The law is a little bit like a wet paint sign that you see and you just got to touch that sucker to make sure it's wet. The law, with the law, we see it. Paul said, the law said, don't covet. And every covetous desire in me was aroused. The law was given to help us to see our sin. Paul said it's a schoolmaster which points us to our need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. The law reveals the indwelling selfishness and wickedness of our hearts. It reveals to us the sinfulness, our sinfulness and sin that's in us. Paul said, no one will be declared righteous in the sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. You see, sin is in every human being, but we are often unaware of its presence. The law shows us our sin. The problem with us is not that we sin. It's that we have sinful, corrupted hearts. Jeremiah said, the heart's deceitful above all things, beyond cure. The King James says, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We are infected with sin to our very core. The law shows us our sinful heart. And so it shows us we need a mighty Redeemer, a mighty Rescuer, a mighty Savior. And that person is Jesus Christ, who comes to save us from our sin. You see, Jesus is the message of the Bible. Jesus is what it's all about. Jesus Christ, not a list of rules, not a religion, not a philosophy, not a way of life, but Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, our Redeemer, the rescue of every person who will turn to Him, is the message of the Bible. He's the one that can save us from our sin. The law is pointing us to Him. The Scripture says the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You know, Paul, read this chapter. He sums it all up at the end. You read the part. Paul said to them, in verse 12, I thank Him who has given me the strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged the me faithful in appointing me to His service, though utterly a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent. Excuse me. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed from me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That's the purpose of the law, to show us our sin and to show us that we have one who can save us from our sin. And Paul winds up with a great doxology. Now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is it. We proclaim Jesus, the one who rescues us from our sin. Not the 10 rules for living correctly. We proclaim not a way of life or philosophy, but a person who can rescue us and make us His own. And we can love Him, and His love can flow through us. Don't get sidetracked by the trivial today. Live a life of love. Loving God, loving His people, and loving the world He came to save. You see, God's goal for us is to live a life of sincere and informed love, not to be ivory tower theologians. What does that mean? What do we have to do with that? First of all, you have to receive the Savior. If you're still trying to be a good person and to pay for your own sin, you'll never make it. You can't do it. But there is one who will rescue you from your sin if you will believe that he died for you on the cross and rose again from the grave. If you will believe that he will come into your life and you can follow him the rest of your life. And his name is Jesus. If you've never trusted him, believe in him today. And then as you have received him, daily let his love flow through your life where you're growing in love for God. And through you, God is loving others so they may know the Savior, the Redeemer, the Rescuer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your great love. We thank you for your mercy, all that you do. Lord, help us, Lord, to major on the majors, to remember the gospel, to remember Jesus, our Savior. God, thank you that you did not leave us in our sin, that you came to change our hearts, to change us, to give us a new life through new birth, through faith in Jesus. Father, help us, help every person here. If there's one here that's never understood that, never grasped that, never put their trust in Jesus, I pray that today they'd stop striving to try to be good and they'd let you save them from their sin. Help us as believers to not complicate the gospel, to not get sidetracked on trivial issues, on things that aren't essential or important, but help us to clearly proclaim the truth that Jesus saves, that he rescues, that he loves. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.